Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A full day of football to break down? Let's talk to the pros. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Harris, your host. With me here, of course, is Pat Fitzmaurice. Pat, how was your football Sunday?
It was good, Dan. We were just comparing notes. Like the last month has been pretty rough for my teams and for my wagering. And today was kind of a turnaround, so it felt good.
Yeah, wagering for me was definitely a good day for sure. My fantasy teams were still a little bit hit or miss. I've got a lot going on, so I do have the Steelers-Chargers game in the background. So if you find me distracted, it is not that Pat is boring me, although he probably is. It's more so that I am watching the game out of the left corner of my eye. But I'm a professional. I can do it all at once. In the meantime, before we get into the games, and we've got a lot to get to today. Again, only two teams on bye. Let's talk about our giveaway, which is a signed Chris Godwin jersey. Look, new entry. Okay, you don't even have to leave a review for the show. Just subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's it. YouTube.com/FantasyPros. That's the entry. And then when you do, just go to FantasyPros.com/contest. That's it. That's all you have to do to be entered. Really easy. And again, a signed Chris Godwin jersey. Why would you not want that? Super easy. Again, just subscribe to the YouTube channel over at YouTube.com/FantasyPros. Also, if you want to hear more of my thoughts, and of course you do, subscribe to The Kickoff, the podcast that I do by myself, solo, 10 to 15 minutes every single weekday morning. Quick hitting fantasy analysis tomorrow morning, by the way, or today, whenever you're listening to this. Just going to be my biggest takeaways, just running through any of the latest injuries, all that sort of stuff. Leave a review for that show as well. Helps that. All right, Pat, you know what time it is. It is time for Trust or Bust.
Trust or Bust.
Let's start with my favorite one so far that we've done. It's Miles Sanders. Okay, he returns here 16 for 94 on the ground. He lost a bad fumble. He tried to lose like three other fumbles, but was unsuccessful in doing so. Jordan Howard looked great, right? 10 for 63, but then he left in the third quarter with his knee injury. I wonder what the breakdown would have been without that, but I got the Giants and the Jets up next. Pat, Miles Sanders, trust or bust?
I have to say trust. The ball security concerns are there, but here's the thing, Dan. The sea change that the Eagles have had offensively has just been striking. Their running back touches, running back carries, in week three, they had three running back carries, then 10, then 13, then 9. and then 18, and then Sanders gets hurt. And in the game since, with Sanders hurt, 37, 29, 25, 32 running back carries. I mean, they have gone from, completely running back free to being very dependent on their running backs. And now that Sanders is back in that number one role and Howard is banged up, I think we have to trust him going forward as, you know, solid running back two.
You know, it's interesting. We are quite a long way away from the home crowd, you know, derisively cheering when Miles Sanders got a carry there like they did against that Bucks game. Out of curiosity, Pat, would you be buying as much if Jordan Howard had not gotten injured in this one? Would you still think he's the lead dog, good to go?
I would still think he would be startable under most circumstances. You know, I'm going to want to go back and look at the first half versus second half snap split there and see how that worked out. But it seemed like he was still running as their lead guy, as Sirianni said was going to be the case going into this game. Although, you know, obviously it would have been a committee, but he was kind of sitting at the head of the table.
All right, next up on Trust or Bust, Pat, a guy who's been a little bit of a disappointment, but coming through now, Jonathan Taylor with, I'm just kidding. We'll get to Jonathan Taylor later. Let's get to somebody who's a little less certain that we're going to be trusting him. That's Marcus Valdes-Scantling. Monster game here against the Vikings. 10 targets, catches only 4 of them, but it does have the long touchdown catch. Totals 123 yards with a touchdown. Pat, you are a Packers fan, so, you know, a long day for you a little bit here. But MVS, what do you think? Trust or bust?
Yeah, sort of on the fence here. If you really turn the screws on me here, Dan, I would have to say bust. Like, just hard to trust. He's so hit or miss. The targets are a moving target on targets. You never know what you're going to get, and you never know what you're going to get with efficiency. On the bright side, his hands have been a lot better. He used to have this major drop problem, like these concentration drops. And we haven't really seen those from him, well, at all this year, but he's been hurt. But it maybe is something he's put behind him. Still, I'm thinking Davante Adams is really the only Packers receiver you can truly trust. Although MVS does seem to be putting some distance between himself and Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard.
Yeah. If you were going to trust another Packers wide receiver, it would be MVS for me. But I agree with you. We're far from trusting. And again, you've got a lot of wide receivers, Pat. You probably can't trust many wide receivers outside of like the top 30. And even then we're sort of like dancing. Right. If we're getting MVS, we got a long way to go, in my opinion. So I agree with you. Last one, Pat, this guy who's, I feel like he was probably on Trust or Bust before, but my mind is mush, so I don't care. I'm just doing it again. And it is Elijah Moore. Huge game here. Apologies to the 17 people who I told to sit today on our Instagram Live with him. 11 targets, 8 catches, 141 yards with a touchdown. 3 monstrous games in a row, 4 productive games in a row. I mean, it sounds silly to even ask it at this point, but trust or bust?
Trust. Very much trust. This is the Elijah Moore that everyone was raving about in minicamp, training camp, preseason. Like, this is the Elijah Moore everyone was so excited about, and we're finally seeing it after we were wondering for half the season if we were going to see it in his rookie year. And we're getting it now, and it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback for the Jets.
Nope.
Does not matter. You know, Mike White, Joe Flacco. Yeah. It looks fantastic right now. So we trust him. I mean, he is a big league route runner. Nice to see him finally pop.
Yeah. The best part about this was that this wasn't like a horribly negative game script at all. Like the Dolphins didn't run with this game. It wasn't like they needed to throw nonstop. Now, Michael Carter did get injured in it. So, you know, maybe that impacted something, but a day with 11 targets in a game where they're not like desperately chasing points, trying to come back from like a 3 touchdown deficit. That's a really good sign. I agree with you. And I have probably been, you know, I've been high on him at times, but for the most part, I've been pumping the brakes a little bit on him. Not more. I'm not anymore. Or Elijah Moore. I'm ready to completely buy in here. All right, let's go to, you know where we're going, Pat. I am confused by your opinion, sir.
I am confused by your opinion, sir.
I've got two guys here. Let's start with Darnell Mooney. Pat, we see things pretty similarly generally. I did not realize that. I have followed you from afar, of course, until you thank goodness, joined our company. Of course, we are all the better for it. But I did not realize just how similarly we see things. And as you and I joke about, in life generally, not just in fantasy. But this was an 11 spot difference for us in our rest of season rankings with Mooney here, Pat. I had him 34th. You had him 45th. I mean, this game's weird, right? I mean, 16 targets. That's crazy. There's no Allen Robinson. 5 catches, 121 yards, and the touchdown. Most of that production came with Andy Dalton, and there's no Allen Robinson here, but still, he can't ignore 16 targets. So, you know, wide receiver 45, Pat, I am confused by your opinion.
Well, I mean, I guess part of it, Dan, is the fact that the Bears were dead last in the league in passing yardage coming into this game. It didn't matter what they had this week. They're going to still be dead last through 11 weeks of the season. And they were dead last by quite a bit. And even with a fairly skinny usage tree that only had Mooney and Allen Robinson, who's hurt now, maybe Cole Kmet. I guess Marquise Goodwin kind of surprised today, but for the most part, it is a narrow tree. Still just not enough to go around, and no consistency really from any of the Bears pass catchers this season, understandably, as that passing game has really struggled. So I guess I just, even though Mooney has been the most dependable on the Bears, is kind of a low bar, I guess. And so I just didn't find him all that trustworthy. Thought he was maybe generally guys in the top 36 or so, wide receiver 3. I think those guys are playable every week. And I did not think that Mooney deserved to be inside that cut line. I may have to reconsider that now. He looked really good today. That touchdown was fun because it wasn't just Mooney running by people, which is kind of the normal Darnell Mooney way. It was Mooney breaking a bunch of tackles and then turning on the Jets and running by people. So that was kind of fun. So yes, I may have to reconsider that one, Dan.
Yeah, it was great to watch. But your first minute of talking, Pat, it sounded like you were just like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm leaving him right there at 45. And again, they have the Lions on Thanksgiving. So I imagine regardless of who's at quarterback, well, you'd be ranking him probably to closer to a wide receiver 3 would be my guess. Regardless, than you would at 45, which is fine. Now let me ask you about somebody that's got to hit a little close to home here, Pat. And that's Aaron Rodgers, who, again, there's not a huge difference. You know, I know people kind of get annoyed a little bit when I say this, but yeah, there's not like that big a difference if you have somebody 9th or you have somebody 12th. But I did have Rodgers 8th in my rest of season rankings, and you did have him 12. Now, he is reportedly dealing with something that he said it's worse than turf toe, which isn't good, but he was obviously fantastic today, 385 with 4 touchdowns. So 12th ranked rest of season quarterback, Pat. I mean, they have a bye. I don't know if that factored into it, but, you know, I'm confused by your opinion on Aaron Rodgers.
Late bye did factor into it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the lack of Aaron Jones, maybe that shouldn't factor into it. But, you know, the funny thing is, I don't know if I'm going to come off this one, Dan, with Elgton Jenkins tearing his ACL. We don't know if David Bakhtiari is going to come back. I mean, he's been practicing. Maybe this is what kind of forces their hand on that. But I clearly think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And maybe this year his fantasy performances haven't always lived up to his talent, I guess. But today it certainly did. And, you know, we'll talk more about that, of course. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think he is just kind of barely inside that quarterback 1 cut line. Mm-hmm. There are some.
How about this one? Ready?
Okay.
Both of us. Well, not both of us. We both had Russell Wilson ranked 10th rest of season, Pat. So that was below Aaron Rodgers for me. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be below Russell Wilson in your next update of your rest of season rankings?
No, he will not be.
Okay. Very good. We'll get there at that point. By the way, bonus trust or bust was not in the notes, but people are here joining us. I want them to know that we are seeing them and watching them. OG Paul D, great name. Juan says CEH is looking like a trust. So let's talk about that very quick, Pat. I mean, CEH, obviously, you know, relatively similar in snaps, you know, with Darrell Williams, but obviously outtouched him, certainly outproduced him, got the touchdown right now. Are you fully back in here on CEH as a startable guy each and every week?
Yeah, I have to go with OG on this one. We thought that maybe Darrell had sort of forced a 50-50 timeshare, and that really wasn't the case. It went kind of right back to where it was. Darrell's probably a little bit more than a backup. He's a backup plus.
Right.
But CEH is clearly back to being the number one in what in theory should be a pretty good offense. So,
yeah. I'm in agreement. I was not expecting this, by the way, in this game, especially with how questionable he was. I would have rather started Darrell Williams if I had to start one of them, because I really just did think it would be basically 50-50. Williams would probably get the passing downs work, which he did. And McKinnon, by the way, I believe got injured in this game on a special teams play. So that will further just, you know, increase Williams' role in the passing game. But certainly I expected, at least here, for Williams to factor in a little more heavily than he did. And the fact that CH just sort of hit the ground running, really encouraging. And now they have a bye for him to get even, you know, further healthy. So that is a good sign. All right, before we keep going, some of your fantasy teams, your seasons may be over. It's true. Okay. I realize that that is difficult to admit, but some of your leagues, anyway, your seasons may be over, but you can continue to dabble in the fantasy market, especially when you go to Prize Picks. You know, we do the over under challenge every single week on Friday, where we pick over under on fantasy points. You can do that same exact thing if you want on Prize Picks. All you gotta do is pick 2 to 5 players, decide if they're gonna go over or under their stat projection. And again, their stat projection is either like an actual stat, like receptions, touchdowns, passing yards, or fantasy points if you prefer to do that. And the more players you pick, the more you can win up to 10 times your money. You can do multi-sport entries, basketball, soccer, MMA, the entire works. You can do whatever you want. You make your entries less than a minute, 4.8 rating from the App Store. You can take your game to a new level with Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code GRIDIRON. Receive a 100% deposit match up to $100.
Matchup recaps.
All right, Pat, let us get into our first game now. And let's start with the Colts 41 and the Bills 15. Jonathan Taylor, 32 carries for 185 yards on the ground, 4 touchdowns, 3 catches for 19 yards, adds a 5th touchdown. I will put up a comment here. Hold on for somebody in the chat. Nathan Burns says, Dan, you always say try to sell high in a multi-touchdown day. So do I trade Taylor high after his 5 TD game? How many top guys do I go after? Yes, of course, you sell Jonathan Taylor high, which is why if you can get both Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook for Jonathan Taylor, go ahead out and do it. Otherwise, stop it. It's ridiculous. Fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. I don't really know what there is to say, Pat. I guess I could say, they have a bye, but would you prefer him or Christian McCaffrey rest of season?
Taylor rest of season, but I think that's going to be a really interesting debate for 2022. I think that debate is going to rage throughout the spring and summer, which of those two should go first. And I mean, Dan, the thing we talked about was, remember, it was week 8 in the overtime loss to the Titans. Carson Wentz threw 51 passes and Jonathan Taylor had 16 rushing attempts. And I ranted. You let me vent my spleen about that, and I was very upset. And I kind of thought that, like, that is the obstacle to Taylor having pick 101 potential, the workload. And in the 3 games since that, Dan, I think Frank Reich learned his lesson. He's had, I believe, 72 carries in the 3 games since then. He is back to a University of Wisconsin-type workload. And then in 16 games since Jonathan Taylor came off the COVID list last year, 1,773 rushing yards, 20 rushing touchdowns, 394 receiving yards, 3 TD catches. So that's, 2,100 and some yards and 23 touchdowns in the last 16 games. That's basically old school LaDainian Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk. I mean, it's just been phenomenal.
Well, as we know, Frank Reich, an avid listener of this show, so we appreciate him taking your advice and putting the gears here to Jonathan Taylor. But look, as Jonathan Taylor gets more rushing attempts and perhaps Carson Wentz gets fewer passing attempts, so too does Michael Pittman get fewer targets. Now, this is a weird game, Pat. It was bad weather. Carson Wentz threw for only 106 yards, but this continues to be sort of my issue with Michael Pittman Jr. when I'm debating where to rank him. 5 targets, 2 catches, 23 yards. He had that monster game against the Titans that we talked about right there. You can't throw that game out, but in his five of his other last six games, 3, 4, 6, 5, and 5 targets. I know he's amazing, but can you just validate my feelings on the fact that I feel like slightly concerned about the fact that I'm just relying on him to make like an AJ Brown type of play every single game? Otherwise, he's going to disappoint. I mean, I'm mildly concerned here when I think about Pittman as an elite fantasy option.
Understandably, I think it goes back to those 72 carries in the last three games, Dan. Like, they have decided to really ramp up Taylor's usage, and that has impacted the passing game. I mean, if you want to look at it optimistically for Pittman, you could say, hey, he had a 25% target share today, 5 of the 20 targets for Indy. And it's just that they haven't been throwing very much. On the bright side, it's not like it's Zach Pascal or T.Y. Hilton popping otherwise. I mean, it's basically a one target passing game. I mean, he is the guy. So that's what you're feeling pretty good about. You know, high value targets, end zone targets, red zone targets. I still feel pretty good about him. But yes, their muted pass volume is a bit of a concern.
Yeah, and again, I rank him, we rank him very similarly rest of season, everything like that. It's just, you know, I have internal concerns that I deal with every single week. So for the Bills, it's so weird. I don't even know how to analyze it really, Pat. I mean, Josh Allen throws for just 209 yards, 2 interceptions. He also rushes for just 18 yards. Now, he does have 2 touchdowns. They go to Stephon Diggs. But Diggs, 6 targets, 4 catches, 23 yards. That's it. The only receiver or receiving option that had any sort of semblance of a decent day was Dawson Knox. 10 targets, 6 catches, 80 yards. Matt Breida is your only running back to top 17 yards, and he has 51 yards rushing. I mean, the Bills offense has been struggling a bit, but not like this. I mean, is this just a really bad day at the offense here or what?
Yeah, I don't know. They haven't looked quite right for some time. I mean, the running game is just dead right now.
Can you drop, by the way? I mean, 3 for 5 for Zach Moss on the ground, Singletary 3 for 17. Can you drop both these guys?
Yeah. I mean, I think you can, because now that it is a 3-headed backfield, now that it's Breida, and I want to see what the snap shares are, but you know, I think Breida had a significant snap share. Like last week, it was kind of fluky. I think he got his 2 touches, had his 2nd touchdown on like his 5th snap or something like that.
So it's kind pretty of fluky. It's pretty split, Pat.
This time it was more like a 1/3, 1/3, 1/3 type of thing. So more concerning for sure. And yeah, I mean, you're definitely not considering playing any of these guys right now. And probably if you're in a pinch and could make better use of that roster spot. We are into the essential handcuffing season, I think.
Yes, yes.
You know, Thanksgiving week is like, if you haven't handcuffed yet, it's time to do it now. So, yeah, I think you can drop these guys. And as far as the pass catchers, Dan, I mean, the one guy I'm really worried about now with the return of Dawson Knox, like we've seen Cole Beasley just no-show. Like after he had a couple like huge PPR type games where he was getting like double digit targets, like 9 or 10 catches. In the 2 games with Dawson Knox back, Beasley has just been non-existent. So, I mean, I think that pretty much kills his startability. You know, Manny Sanders hasn't been relevant for over a month.
Yeah.
You know, and Diggs, just a slow day at the office. You're not worried about him. And he showed up with the touchdown. But yeah, this is a spiraling offense right now. And it's going to be interesting to see if they can turn it around against a pretty good defense on Thanksgiving with the Saints ahead. Yeah. So,
yeah. And again, I mean, well, we'll talk about that game when we get there. But yeah, as somebody who just made an on-air wager with the host of our Daily Juice podcast on the Betting Pros side that the Patriots would not win a playoff game, I am starting to get a little nervous here over the fact that they might here win the AFC East. Let's go to the next game here, Pat. The Ravens 16, Bears 13. For the Ravens, no Lamar Jackson here. Very sick, not COVID-related, but apparently like really sick if you read the reports about him. So it's Tyler Huntley, 26-36 for 219 yards. He does throw a pick. He also rushes for 40 yards. Mark Andrews heavily involved, as you might expect. 10 targets, 8 catches, 73 yards. We joked, Pat, after sort of line of slack, and we were all able to come up for air about how many people we recommended Rashad Bateman to thinking that Lamar Jackson would start. Hopefully they realized that it was a little bit of a different story here. 6 targets, 3 catches, 29 yards. With the passing game, Pat, I'm not sure there are really very many conclusions you can draw or want to draw anyway without Jackson.
No. Good that Mark Andrews was able to get his in.
He earned it, by the way. You saw some of those catches. Really, he earned it.
Yeah. He is terrific. Like,
yep.
No-brainer starter, one of the true stars, and deserves to be thought of as one of the elite tight ends, I think. Like, he was kind of borderline elite tight end, not really considered with the Waller, Kittle, Kelsey class coming into this year. I think he absolutely has earned a spot in that tier. Yep.
100%. The running backs here, we didn't know what it would look like with Latavius Murray back, but it's mostly Devontae Freeman, 16 for 49 on the ground with the touchdown. He also has 6 catches for 31 yards through the air. Latavius Murray, 10 for 32 on the ground, 2 catches for a yard. How do you think this, you know, backfield shakes out as we go forward?
Do you have the snaps in front of you, Dan? I feel like the snaps were more even than the touches were. So,
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Murray, Freeman, 47, Murray, 30.
Okay, that's a little more pronounced than I thought. But so Freeman, kind of a 1A, 1B situation. I think Murray's return does make Freeman a little less viable. Like, he had gotten into solid running back 2 territory.
Yeah.
I think he's more in, like, flex territory now with Murray back. And, yep. You know, Murray is maybe in the periphery of lineup consideration, probably not ideally. I don't think you'd ever want to start him if Lamar weren't around. But, you know, once Lamar is back, I mean, that might float some fantasy value, low level fantasy value for Murray too.
Yeah, I would say borderline flex for me. For right now, I do think that it's going to be Freeman, a guy who you want to start each and every week. Although, admittedly, again, his overall stock is lower now with Latavius Murray back. For the Bears, we talked about a little bit. Justin Fields obviously was not having a good day even before his rib injury. I mean, they play on Thanksgiving. It'd be shocking. I don't know how bad the injury is, but it's just going to be shocking if he's able to come back. Anyway, Andy Dalton does come in, only 11 for 23. He does throw the 2 touchdown passes. One we already talked about to Mooney. The other one to Marquise Goodwin, who you mentioned, 8 targets, 4 catches, and 104 yards. Meanwhile, Dave Montgomery, 14 for 58 on the ground, 1 catch for 9. I don't know, man. I mean, we talked about Darnell Mooney. I yelled at you already about your ranking. I don't really know if there's much else to take away here on the Bears side.
Yeah, there's really not. Montgomery at least is back in his role. He didn't really get going today, but is solid running back too. I don't know. I mean, is there anything better than a traditional Thanksgiving at Grandma's, Dan, watching Andy Dalton and Tim Boyle square off? On I mean,
one time, can we get that really good game? Yeah, this is going to be something. But that's the beauty of it, man. It's football still. Like, I'm going to be glued to that. Forget about fantasy. Forget about gambling. I'm going to be sitting. I'm going to be eating. And I'm going to be watching the worst pair of quarterbacks, you know, go up against each other for sure. It's going to be fine. And hey, look, I mean, look what Dalton did for the receivers, man. Who knows? Maybe it's going to be explosive day, Pat. You never know about that. But whatever. Yeah, obviously the quick turnaround. So we'll have to deal with that. All right. Before we keep going, it's holiday season. And if you're looking for a gift for that, you know, man in your life, look no further than Manscaped, because they got you covered in every single way possible. It is getting cold up here in the Northeast. And when that happens, I feel like as men, sometimes we have a tendency to let ourselves go. You guys can see us on our YouTube channel. I'm wearing a hooded sweatshirt. I'm also wearing sweatpants, which you can't see. I am not getting out of either one of those until the spring comes. And that might have a tendency to make me not really care about, you know, what you look like underneath all that, not watching what you eat, not exercising, and not keeping everything trim. But that's not going to happen this year, thanks to our good friends at Manscaped and their Performance Package 4.0. So what does that include? Number one, the Lawnmower 4.0 electric trimmer, which has the proprietary skin-safe technology and is waterproof, the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, moisturizer, and toner, a pair of Manscaped anti-chafing boxers, and they just launched the new 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, and new ultra premium body wash infused with aloe vera and sea salt. So get your brother or your father or your third cousin twice removed the gift he really wants over at Manscaped, and you can get 20% off 20%. plus free shipping with the code Yates at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates at manscaped.com. All right, Pat, Browns 13, Lions 10. Game as ugly as the score. Really ugly for the Browns. Nick Chubb's great, of course, and that's really what anybody cares about. 22 for 130 on the ground. He also catches two passes, 14 yards with a touchdown through the air, but Mayfield was terrible, and I'm friends with a lot of Browns fans. I follow them on Twitter. They were freaking out over this entire thing. 15 for 29. He does have the touchdown, but two picks. Jarvis Landry does get the rushing touchdown, plus 26 yards receiving. He did miss a chunk of time here with his knee injury. He came back in, but then he left. He's going to be reevaluated tomorrow. Austin Hooper was involved. No Donovan Peoples-Jones. I mean, look, Chubb is awesome. I guess Landry in the right matchup and just forget about everybody else. Is that fair to say with the Browns?
Pretty much, yeah. And in defense of Mayfield, and I'm not normally one of his quickest defenders, should he have been playing today? I mean, shoulder, yeah. Knee, foot injury. Like, he's battling three different injuries, and I think he was kind of clearly not 100% today. So I don't really blame him. And plus, I mean, look what he's dealing with as far as weaponry. He's got Jarvis Landry.
Yeah,
Rashard Higgins is his number two. You know, the tight ends, like, there's just not a lot for him to work with. So it's hard for me to be too rough on him after his mediocre day.
I can say that you are much more generous than any Cleveland Browns fan that I know. For the Lions, we talked, it's no Jared Goff, it's Tim Boyle. It can get worse. 15 for 23 for 77 yards, two picks. But DeAndre Swift, 14 for 136 on the ground with a touchdown, three catches for no yards. TJ Hockenson bounces back a little bit here. Eight targets, six catches, 51 yards. So this is probably a dumb question here, Pat, but Swift is amazing, as we know, and the return of Jamal Williams in this game didn't really matter. But the only thing I look at, Pat, is that, you know, Dan Campbell took over play calling a couple of games ago. And in those games, now Swift has six catches for 5 yards in the games. Like, right. His pass catching ability is really what sells him. Now he's been doing it on the ground. But the fact that he's now so uninvolved in the passing game, does that give you any long term concerns about Swift? Or has he just been so productive on the ground that it doesn't really matter?
I'm glad you brought this up, Dan, because it reminds me of the concerns that I had earlier in the season about Alvin Kamara when he went from being the guy who got so much of his value from pass catching. And then he was getting these ramped up carry totals earlier in the season and really not doing it in the passing game at all. And it's just like a harder way for a running back to go about his business and get things done. I think it like boosts the chances of injury, the wear and tear from all those extra carries, as opposed to, you know, getting these touches out in space as a pass catcher and maybe not getting as many direct shots. Yeah, so I am worried about it. Like, it's a harder way for Swift to do it. It's cool that he's showing that he can do it purely as a runner. Like, he's got that in his bag of tricks, too. Like, he is just super versatile dude, fantastic talent. But, yeah, I don't really like the new usage as much as the older usage.
Yeah, it's definitely concerned me. And again, I love that it's been just overshadowed by the fact that he's been so dominant on the ground the last couple of days. But really, you know, it'd be nice to see him get more involved. But like you said, I think the concerns that we had about Kamara is a great comp. Let's go to the Texans 22, Titans 13. Let's start with the Titans. Ryan Tannehill was terrible. 323 yards through the air and a touchdown, but four picks. I personally give him a little bit of a pass considering that the weather was terrible. Marcus Johnson, who I kind of liked, right? Like, not necessarily in this game, but just at least gives you kind of a reliable second option, got injured early with his hamstring. And then AJ Brown suffers two injuries, right? He's out early with the hand, then he comes back, then he's out with a shoulder, chest. Or I don't know anything about it right now, although from the injury people that I follow, it sounds like they think he might miss some time here. So who the heck knows what that's going to look like. I don't really know if there's much to say here on that, Pat. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I am going to ask you about the running backs first. Then you can go back to the passing game if you want. But I was pretty optimistic this week. I don't know about you, Pat, about Dante Foreman with no Jeremy McNichols. Just 7 for 25 on the ground, one catch for 15. Adrian Peterson, meanwhile, has 11 touches for 44 total yards. Now they've got the Patriots. Are you just avoiding the Titans running backs right now going forward?
I think I am. And Deonta Foreman was a guy recommended to a lot of people today. And
me
so
too.
I'm sure they're cursing me, I guess. I did not see the relevance of Dontrell Hilliard coming?
Yes. What? Where was this? I don't understand.
Yeah. So, you know, he was basically just a one-for-one replacement for Jeremy McNichols, being that third man, being that satellite guy, I guess. So, yeah, totally didn't expect that. We expected positive game script. Didn't get that. And by the way, Dan, like, has there ever been a tougher month for Survivor pools than month? Like, no one was losing in Survivor pools. I'm in a couple two-strike Survivor pools, and, like, no one had any strikes into, like, mid-October.
Right.
Like, I'm like, God, there are going to be 30 people tied with no strikes at the end of the season.
Yeah.
The last month has been bloody, and I think I noticed in Yahoo Survivor pools, I think, like, 47% of people had the Titans this week.
Sure. Of course.
Oh, my goodness.
I love the Texans getting the 10. I didn't think that they'd win outright, but the Titans had been living this sort of charmed life, you know, that was really hiding their flaw. And again, once AJ, I mean, the weather was terrible. It was just a terrible game for the guys. But I agree with you, Pat. I recommended Foreman to a lot of people today. I really thought that this was going to be a game that he was going to kind of shine. And then he was like not involved that much early on. And then the game got away from them and it was just, it was just bad. So
can I add one thing about Tannehill though?
Like, absolutely.
Negative game script. Tannehill is just not a good quarterback for a negative game script. If you get behind, you're pretty much hosed with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback. Cause he is not the guy who's going to, and we saw it today, like trying to force throws and getting intercepted repeatedly in their comeback attempt. So,
To be fair, it did look to me a couple times because, you know, you've got nobody who is relied upon as a pass catcher. It looked like half the time they were running the wrong routes, or you thought they were going to run the other route. And he was just like, you could see him, but I completely agree with you. A negative game script is not ideal. Also, somebody get Mike Vrabel a hood or something, because it was just very difficult to watch him in that entire matchup. Look like just like how I felt watching that matchup, basically. Out of curiosity, Pat, real quick, if Brown does need to miss time, Julio Jones is still out. Marcus Johnson sounds like he's going to be out. Do you look at it? I mean, Westbrook Akina had 8 targets, 7 catches, 107 yards. Would you look anyone's way or just run away from all Titans in the meantime?
No, I mean, Westbrook Akina could be a serviceable fill-in. I mean, I'm probably, if all those guys are out, if AJB, Julio, and Marcus Johnson are all out, Westbrook Akina is probably going to be a top 40 receiver in my rankings this coming week.
God,
as weird as
depths,
that is.
The depths to which we have fallen. Okay, for the Texans, it's really nothing other than 2 Tyrod Taylor rushing touchdowns, one of which was, you know, the type when I'm watching with my kid and we just raise our hands. That's what I love to see when he jumps over people. He throws for just 107 yards here. Again, terrible weather, but Brandon Cooks, 3 targets, 2 catches, 18 yards. Rex Burkhead and David Johnson combined for 31 carries for 58 yards. Usual stuff. Start Brandon Cooks as like a flex and then ignore everybody else.
Yeah. And Cooks has gone slowly sliding down from early in the season, wide receiver 2 to wide receiver 3. And now I think you're right. He's at about flex level. And the Texans running game. Oh, my goodness. At least this was the first time since they traded Ingram that we have seen any of their running backs get double digit targets. And 2 guys did it. But, you know, Rex Burkhead had the 18 carries for 40 yards. Line speaks volumes. So,
Avoid entirely. Yeah. Vikings 34, Packers 31, a game I'm sure you watch closely, Pat. Let's start with the Vikings. Good for everybody. I mean, you know, Dalvin Cook, 25 touches, 115 total yards, and he does get the touchdown. Sort of the reverse of what usually happens to Dalvin Cook, where he usually falls down at the 1 and somebody else gets the touchdown. This time Jefferson rolled down at the 1 and he gets the touchdown. Jefferson, though, magical. 10 targets, 8 catches, 169 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Thielen, great game here. 10 targets, 8 catches, 82 yards and a touchdown. Kirk Cousins, 341 pass attempts. 341 yards. That would be too many pass attempts. Pardon me. 3 touchdowns here. This was a defense, Pat. The Packers that we talked about last week and how well they had been playing and how they've been shutting down these opposing offenses. I don't really know what to say here, so say whatever you want. But I feel like, you know, this just sort of feels like there are times I watch this offense for the Vikings, and I think it's unstoppable. Like, you're starting most of these guys except Cousins, but I don't know, man. Anything you want to say? You were a Packers fan. You were watching this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, Cousins is the guy who can stop this offense, and he threw about 5 interceptable balls today. I mean, Savage dropped like three interceptions, including the one in, you know, with about 2 minutes left that would have given the ball back to Rodgers right after the long play to MVS. The very next play, it looks like Darnell Savage has this interception and it was ruled, you know, not a catch. And I agreed with the call, but, you know, he had another one where I forget which of the Packers quarterbacks just didn't locate the ball. I mean, it could have been a pick six. There was another one. And then he would inevitably hit on a big play right after the non-interception. But Justin Jefferson was so phenomenal. Oh, like the stat line doesn't even do justice, because a lot of the times it was like the Packers really ramped up the blitz today. And Cousins did do a good job of standing in and pressure and like getting off these throws, because he was under duress. He wasn't really having a lot of time to like plant and make a real accurate throw, drive the ball, just kind of putting it in the area of where Jefferson was. And Jefferson was doing whatever it took to win the ball.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, he is just so good. And I know a lot of people were thinking earlier that it was a slam dunk that Ja'Marr Chase was the number one wide receiver for Dynasty. I don't know about that. Like, that's another good debate. Just like CMC versus Jonathan Taylor, who's the 101 next year in redraft. Chase versus Jefferson for Dynasty wide receiver one is a pretty good debate too.
We're going to have some fun offseason talk here this year, Pat. I promise you that. All right. I agree with everything. Let's talk about your Packers. We did talk about most of it. I mean, really, we talked about MVS in Trust or Bust. We talked about Aaron Rodgers and I'm confused by your opinion, sir. So what's left is Devontae Adams being amazing. 8 targets, 7 catches, 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. AJ Dillon fills in well. He just doesn't find the end zone here. 17 total touches, 97 total yards. My guess is he's going to get one more week here before Aaron Jones come back. I don't know, Pat, other than what we've talked about, anything left to say here on the Packers?
It's interesting that I think the player props for AJ Dillon's rushing and receiving added up to something like 106, 107 yards. And like, it seemed like a disappointing day for him and he still came within 10 yards of it.
Yep.
Just the fact that the game script sort of was more favorable for the Packers to pass. I mean, it was a shootout game script that didn't really favor Dillon. But he did have one catch that was like acrobatic, like where Rodgers didn't give him the best ball and he brought it in pretty easily. Like, that's really exciting that that is part of his skill set, something he was never asked to do on Chestnut Hill in Boston College. Like, he can do that, and very exciting, bodes well for his future. So, yeah, not much else. I mean, Rodgers was Rodgers today. He was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I say that about Dillon. I've said a few times is that I've been way more impressed with how involved he's been as a pass catcher than I expected whatsoever. I mean, he's already surpassed what I expected him to do for the season just in terms of catches. And obviously today was a little different. But yeah, he has been way more impressive than I expected just based on what we had seen in college. All right, before we keep going, my son plays a lot of baseball. And when he's in the field in baseball, I sort of tell him to take a deep breath and to try to imagine what's going to happen on the next play and to prepare himself as to what he is going to do. If it's a slow roller, where he's going to go with the ball, if it's hit hard, just know where you're going to go before. Think about things and prepare. That's just kind of how I roll. I like to be prepared. That's why for another year, I'm an Air Medcare Network subscriber. If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses at all. Join today. Never pay a dime for your medical flight when you are flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency. That's a great way to get peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. Right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, again, you get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Basically pays for itself. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use offer code Fantasy Pros no matter where you're at in the game of life. An Air Medcare Network membership is the protection that you should not live without. All right, Pat, let's keep going here and get to the Dolphins 24, Jets 17. Pretty much everything comes through here for the Dolphins. Miles Gaskin, 23 for 89 on the ground, plus 3 catches for 7 yards and the touchdown. There was no Savon Ahmed here. Duke Johnson played, but it was really Gaskin dominating the touches and the snaps. Jaylen Waddle, 9 targets, 8 catches, 65 yards, but he has that early rushing touchdown that really sort of sets his day. Tua was good, 27 of 33, 273 through the air with two touchdowns. He does throw a pick. And Mike Gesicki, not a huge day, but six targets, five catches, 50 yards. Certainly a far cry from the seven targets, zero catches that he had last week. So it's a tough matchup next week against the Panthers. I guess Gaskin is really the one we should talk about here. Pat, a guy who we have trusted and then has let us down, but seems to kind of be locked in as so long as Malcolm Brown is out with sort of the real bulk of the workload. Do you feel confident, assuming that Brown is not back, starting him against the Panthers?
Not at all, because that offensive line is terrible. And against the Jets, no offense, Dan, that might be one of the few front sevens that this offensive line is capable of handling. So, yeah, we've seen that Gaskin has now sort of got this lead running back role, and it would normally be a very valuable role in a decent offense. But like this offensive line is so bad. I think against a better defense, and the Panthers certainly have a better defense. Like, we've seen some really terrible Gaskin lines where it's like 20 carries for 43 yards whatever. And like, you know, that is in play every week. And, you know, if he doesn't get the volume, or there's a slight decrease in that, if Miami doesn't run a lot of plays in a game, then the floor is uncomfortably low with him. So, I guess the volume boosts him in the maybe low end running back two range, but that's about as high as we can go. And it's a really shaky running back two profile, I think.
Hey, man, if you call Myles Gaskin an RB2, that is something that I think most fantasy managers who have him right now are thrilled with, right? And I feel the same way. I'm completely the same way. An uncomfortable borderline RB2 is really what you say about Myles Gaskin, and that's what it is. But I think given where things were a few weeks ago, I think most people will take that. For the Jets, I mean, Michael Carter looks pretty good when he's in there, but you know, he leaves with an ankle injury. Robert Saleh didn't have an update on it. Hopefully he's okay for next week, but 9 for 63 on the ground, one catch for 2 yards. Again, I don't even know who the QB is going to be next week, but if Carter is out, do you think you'd have interest in either Tevin Coleman or Ty Johnson next week?
Ty Johnson, just because he's shown some aptitude as a pass catcher. And I think in this Jets offense, where there's been a lot of check down goodness for the running backs at times, a lot of it with Mike White. But I mean, I think no matter who is a quarterback for the Jets, like that's got to be part of this offense. And So I would have some interest in Ty Johnson, and like, let's hope it's not a multi-week injury. Like, I've heard some chatter about possibly, you know, a high ankle mechanism in that injury, which would really suck, because Carter's been, you know, I've sung his praises on this show the last couple of weeks. I thought he was a solid running back too, and, you know, depressing to lose him after the nice rookie season he's been having.
Yeah, for sure. And I hadn't heard anything specific. I do just know that it's a little discouraging, you know, afterwards when the coach basically has no update on you whatsoever, considering you left kind of early. But they do have Houston next week. That's obviously a matchup that you don't want to necessarily avoid. We talked about Elijah Moore already. Flacco throws for 291 yards and two touchdowns, one to Moore, the other one going to Jameson Crowder, six catches, 44 yards. Corey Davis, three catches, 35 yards. Any interest going forward in a receiver on the Jets not named Elijah Moore?
Not really in Crowder anymore, just because I think, you know, he and Elijah Moore have sort of redundant skill sets, and Elijah Moore is much better at that than Jameson Crowder is. Jameson Crowder's always had a pretty low ceiling, and I think it's been lowered even further. Hasn't scored a lot of touchdowns in his career, so like the fact that he got one today is great, but like you're not relying on the touchdown deodorant, as we've been saying, Dan. And like Davis is maybe playable in a pinch, but with the emergence of Moore, I think that devalues him a little bit and makes him sort of a borderline start sit guy every week.
I think that's right. I mean, I will be interested to see what it looks like when Zach Wilson gets back, just because of how, you know, much of a connection he had with Davis. But still, at this point, you shouldn't be going to the Jets for too much of your fantasy value anyway. We can look elsewhere other than Elijah Moore. Eagles 40, Saints 29. We talked about it. I'm not sure any team in the history of football has ever quite changed the narrative on them so much as the Eagles have over the last few weeks. Jalen Hurts, 13-4, 24, not great, just 147 yards. 18 rushing attempts for 69 yards and not one, not two, but three rushing touchdowns there, which obviously that is something to factor in with the with whoever is the goal line back, whether it's Miles Sanders or whatever. But Dallas Goedert, 8 targets, 5 catches, 62 yards. Devontae Smith, 6 targets, 4 catches, 61 yards. I mean, given the fact that he threw for 147 yards and he only attempted 24 passes, like, tough matchup. You're not too upset, right? If you roster either guy, like, this is fine, and you're fairly still relatively encouraged going forward.
Exactly. And the fact that two guys are getting the vast majority of the targets, what few targets there are to go around in this offense, like, that's good. That keeps the fact that you can pretty comfortably start two Eagles pass catchers every week in an offense that is so absurdly run heavy is a pretty good thing. Yeah. I mean, like, we talk about this every week, Dan. There are a lot of just gruesome offenses right now where you're lucky if there's, like, one decent guy. You know, the Lions, DeAndre Swift, maybe Hockenson. Like, the Eagles are giving us a lot of usable guys, at least 4, maybe 5 guys in any given week who you can start from this offense. That's pretty nice this time of year.
And you don't have to question it. Like, Goddard is in your lineup. Devontae Smith is in your lineup. Jalen Hurts is in your lineup. I mean, it's really remarkable where they are. And now Giants and the Jet, they get a lot of, you know, good matchups here coming up. Again, you know, non-fantasy, I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm sure probably the odds on them making the playoffs right now are pretty darn good after this game.
One quick point, Dan. Like, I still get a lot of lineup questions involving Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
He's finished in quarterback one range every week but one, and that was when it was like a 44-7 blowout, and he threw like 14 passes and didn't need to
And they scored like a million rushing touchdowns, you know, he could do. You know why? They're all listening to Yates, man. They're all listening to Yates, and they're down on Jalen Hurts. Stop listening to Yates. You've got us two here. You don't need anybody else. Relax about that. Okay. Let's keep going. I will mention that Darius Slay did leave with a concussion in that game, so hopefully he's okay for next week. For the Saints, again, they're going to have a short turnaround here for Thanksgiving, and it's a little tough to digest it exactly what it was because it was such a negative game script for a team that doesn't usually play in these crazy negative game scripts. But Mark Ingram, 16 for 88 on the ground. He also has 8 targets, 6 catches, 25 yards. He does lose a fumble. Traquan Smith, 8 targets, 5 catches, 64 yards. Adam Trautman, I mean, we talked about him, right? Last week, I think, Pat. The fact that he was getting more work, he does again. 8 targets, 5 catches, 58 yards. He does have the touchdown, and Juwan Johnson was a healthy scratch in this game. Marquez Callaway, just a 1 catch, but 26 yards with the touchdown. I don't know, Pat, any huge takeaways here for the Saints offense?
No, Trautman in the tight end streaming conversation. I just don't think you can really trust Callaway, who not many targets, although he does have some high impact catches. Traquan Smith, more targets, low efficiency. It's not a real appealing combination. Either of those guys, I don't think you can trust.
I agree with you. I prefer to look elsewhere for my fantasy production. Hopefully Kamara is able to make it back. But if not, you obviously continue to start Mark Ingram with relative confidence. Football team 27, Panthers 21. All right, now I'm interested here, Pat. You listed Antonio Gibson, I believe, as one of your sell high candidates, right? Coming into this week after his big game. Okay, very good. So, I mean, a good game here. He's got 19, you know, he lost a fumble and then he was MIA for a little bit, but then he came back. 19 carries again, 95 yards, you know, not involved again at all in the passing game, Pat, but 19 carries for 95 yards. Like, you'll take that. How do you feel now? Has your opinion changed at all about Antonio Gibson?
It has, because he has in the last 2 weeks had 43 carries against NFC South teams with good run defenses. The fact that they now seem more dedicated to getting him the ball, and I think that was kind of the concern about Gibson earlier in the season, that there were all these McKissick games and there just wasn't enough for Gibson to do when he was getting 13 or 14 carries and just like 2 targets a game. And now he is being fed the ball. And, oh, by the way, they're 2-0 in their last 2 games with feeding Gibson the ball. So that's probably a formula they're going to keep going with.
And you look at their next 2 games, Seattle, which is not a matchup where you expect them to put up, Seattle to put up a ton of points or anything like that. And Las Vegas, which looks a little broken now since Henry Ruggs left in their offense. So it does not seem like either game where Washington is going to be chasing points desperately, and they can continue this sort of flow that they have offensively, which means Gibson getting a lot of carries. I agree with you, by the way. I told you, like, you stole my guys in our, you know, on our trade show. I was also looking to sell high on him, but I agree. I'm intrigued now by this entire thing. Meanwhile, Terry McLaurin, tough secondary, comes through 7 targets, 5 catches, 103 yards with the touchdown. Taylor Heinicke also throws 2 touchdowns to Adam Humphries and DeAndre Carter, who just never stopped scoring touchdowns. How about McLaurin here, Pat? I mentioned him a little bit as, like, I thought maybe there might be a buy low opportunity, just because I feel like managers are a little, you know, just annoyed at the continued mediocrity. But I thought that bubbling underneath with the schedule, there could be something more. Tough matchup here in, you know, with the secondary. Are you, you know, more optimistic on McLaurin than you were before? Or basically opinion stays even?
In one way, it stays even, because I think we're pretty consistently seeing him get like 7 or 8 targets a week. And it's been like 50-50 whether he hits or misses. The optimism comes from, I think, with this new dedication of the running game, I think that boosts the chances for efficient performances from him. So I think it'll improve his hit rates if they continue to run the ball this well. So slightly more encouraged about McLaurin than I was at this time 2 weeks ago.
All right. And I'm just checking. And you had him 17th. I'm 14th. So I imagine you'll basically probably keep him roughly there, maybe move him up a little bit to where I am. But I think I sort of took into account the fact that I kind of felt like this was going to happen at some point. So my guess is he relatively stays where he is here at 14. For the Panthers, Pat, on the show last week, you and I sort of debated, like, hey, man, where do we think we're going to end up with Cam Newton in our rest of season rankings? I don't look at your rest of season rankings, Pat, until today, when I put together the show notes and I put together the rest of the season. We both had him at 18, right on the same nose. So that's exactly basically what we thought. However, 21 for 27 for 189 yards, 2 touchdowns plus 10 carries, 46 yards and a touchdown. Now, this is a great matchup, pretty much as good as you can get for a quarterback. But then he's got Miami, then a bye, then Atlanta. I kind of feel like he may be approaching just stardom almost every time he's out there. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to take him up a few spots, probably. I mean, the bye, that was one of the reasons he wasn't a little bit higher, that he still has that bye ahead. I kind of wanted to put him at like 15 or 16, but I saw that bye. I might have to put him at 15 or 16 anyway, because he looked decent throwing the ball today.
Yep.
And I mean, they didn't ask him to make a lot of difficult throws, but he made the throws he needed to make. He executed the offense really well today. And, you know, we know he still has that rushing ability. So,
yep,
so far, so good. And it's just, it's fun to see him back. And like, he, you know, put a little bit of life back into DJ Moore,
yep.
You know, still working on, you know, trying to get some life back into Robbie Anderson. That's a tougher task, but yeah, so far so good with Cam. It's been fun to watch.
So are you encouraged with DJ Moore then? 7 targets, 5 catches, 50 yards, but he finds the end zone, obviously. So not like a drastically different day other than the fact that he finds the end zone. So are you encouraged by what you saw here with Cam and DJ Moore?
A little bit, yeah. And I've got him in a couple leagues, and it was different putting him in the line. Like, I kind of knew it wasn't the right move to start him in you know, previous when the Sam Darnold thing reached its nadir. Like, I was still plugging DJ Moore back in, reasoning that like, he's a really good player, but it just didn't feel good. And today I felt good using DJ Moore and the putting him into the lineups where I have him on my rosters. And yeah, so I'm feeling better about him. Definitely.
Meanwhile, kudos to you for a prop that I adopted as well, which I believe was McCaffrey over 46.5 receiving yards. Again, this is just a reminder to everybody that, like, I know everybody wants to sort of think, for whatever reason, that McCaffrey is not going to be quite as involved in the passing game when Cam was there. He's going to be just as involved as he always was. 10 for 59 on the ground, but 8 targets, 7 catches, and 60 yards with the touchdown through the air. So nobody really had any worries about McCaffrey, but certainly his passing game work will not take a dip. 49ers 30, Jaguars 10. Pat, we recommended about how many people we told to start Jeff Wilson. You knew he was going to get 20 touches, Pat. We would have been jumping for joy about here, but 58 scoreless yards. We were both angry at the wide open, you know, miss of him in the end zone, which I don't know if it was Garoppolo's fault. I don't know if Wilson sort of held up and just Garoppolo thought he was going to keep going or what that was. But let's just assume here, Pat, besides the fact that we recommended him to a lot of people and maybe he didn't justify it, assume Elijah Mitchell is going to be out here next week. Would you just roll him out there again as an RB2 against Minnesota?
I would, because they gave him a lot of work. I think the Jacksonville defense has gotten tougher. You know, we saw that against Buffalo a couple of weeks ago. And the Jacksonville has not been the defensive pushover that we thought. And I think we kind of saw that today. There just wasn't a lot of room for Wilson. And like the 49ers have a good offensive line, too. So, yep. Can we go back to that open? It was Jimmy G's fault, Dan. It wasn't okay. When we say he was open, it wasn't like he got a couple steps on his man and he was. No, there was literally no one covering him. He was standing all alone in the end zone, a complete defensive lapse by the Jaguars, and somehow Jimmy G managed to miss it. And like if he makes that easy throw for the touchdown, like, we're not apologizing to hundreds of people who we told to start Jeff Wilson today.
I think the only thing I was thinking, I was like, well, I mean, he was running, and then he kind of was like, I'm so wide open, just throw it right to me, and Jimmy G might have, all right, you're right, fine, okay, I'm just trying to be a nice person. But yes, to be fair, that's right. I mean, the fact that he had 20 touches, you told me 20 touches coming in, I would have probably recommended him more strenuously than I did to most people, but again, otherwise, it's still good for pretty much everybody else. I mean, Deebo Samuel, weird, just 2 targets and a catch for 15 yards. But let's just, you know, do 8 carries for 79 yards and a touchdown. Kittle catches all 4 for 34 with a touchdown. And Brandon Ayuk, all 7 with 85 yards and a touchdown. Pat, out of curiosity, you had him 41st. I had him 42nd in our rest of season rankings. You moving him up again after this?
Moving him up for sure. I needed a prove it game still. Like, he had shown signs of life, but this was the prove it game. Good number of targets, high efficiency, back to looking like the Brandon Ayuk of 2020.
Yep. Yeah. I love it. I'm all in now. I'm Brandon Ayuk. Absolutely. I will be moving him up with you. For the Jaguars, James Robinson, not a ton of efficiency here, or success, just 12 for 29 on the ground. He does find the end zone, though, so touchdown deodorant, again, as we like to say. It's really bad. I mean, Trevor Lawrence throws for 158 yards. Marvin Jones, 4 for 52. Good game for Marvin Jones, I guess. Laviska Shenault, all 5 of his targets caught for 50 yards. That's good. 0 targets for Dan Arnold makes my blood want to boil a little bit, just because I kind of thought we were past this. I kind of thought it was I can just put you in my lineup now and not really worry about it. So is Robinson the only person, Pat, that you can confidently put in your lineup on the Jaguars?
Yes. Yes. The passing game just looks so bad. I almost want them to just pull Trevor Lawrence and just end his rookie season. Like, I don't even want him to be part of this offense anymore. Like, he doesn't look good, but there's just so little ingenuity to this offense. Like, they never give him any easy throws to make. It's just like, I hate this offense. I can't wait for Urban Meyer to be gone. I can't wait for Trevor Lawrence to work with a new, presumably offensive-minded head coach. Throw this season in the trash bin for Lawrence, please, please. Okay. It's just depressing.
All right. Well, I hope, Urban Meyer is listening to this with his fellow coaches over there. So hopefully he will do it. I will add this, by the way, on the 49ers, Nathan Burns, who's been commenting a lot. Hello, Nathan. Thank you for joining us here live on Sunday night. It seems like Sermon, he says, Trey Sermon might be trending out of the doghouse. Now, I didn't bring that up. 11 touches, 55 yards. That's good. But, you know, I didn't know whether or not this was just, if you think there's anything to this whatsoever, if it was just the fact that they dominated the game and obviously Mitchell was out, so we got some sort of garbage work here.
I mean, it is a sign that he is starting to work his way out of the doghouse, that like the last time there was a Mitchell injury, didn't they, like, they were going out of their way to give Juszczyk touches? Yes. And, yes, you know, at least they trust him enough to give him that sort of work. Had it been a closer game, I don't know if he would have gotten that. That's hard to tell. But unfortunately, like, I think he's going to be back to running back 3 as soon as Mitchell gets back. And presumably he won't be to be honest, I was a little surprised Mitchell didn't play this week. I don't know if he has a pin in his finger. I guess that would be the one issue. But I know a lot of times guys just tape two fingers together and just kind of roll with it. So I guess post-surgery, maybe that's why they felt like they couldn't put him out there this week. But I would not be surprised if Mitchell was back in the lineup next week and Sermon was back to just being an afterthought.
Bengals 32, Raiders 13. Not a huge game, actually, offensively for the Bengals. But Joe Mixon, obviously, 30 carries, 123 yards and two touchdowns. No targets again, which is annoying for me, right? But I don't like you can't complain about this. Of course, it's a great game. Great to see him delivering. But I would like to see him involved a little bit in the passing game. The passing game, though, not great. Obviously, just 148 yards for Burrow. He does have the late touchdown, which goes to Ja'Marr Chase. Pretty quiet game for him. Six targets, three catches, 32 yards. Tyler Boyd, eight targets, six catches, 49 yards. T. Higgins, three targets, two catches, 15 yards. That one, Bird B, by the way, I definitely recommended Higgins to a lot of people as well. Same with you. Okay, good. Yep. See, this is great. We just think, the same about everything. Okay, rest of season rankings, Pat. You had Ja'Marr Chase third in your wide receiver rankings. T. Higgins, 22nd. Tyler Boyd, 52nd. Does anything about this game change any of that significantly for you?
Not significantly, no. It was a little more run heavy than we would have expected, but the Raiders are probably easier to move the ball on the ground, easier to run on than to throw on, I think.
Yep.
And, because they can put the heat on. And we saw that. I mean, Burrow was pressured at times today and he went down once and kind of got up real gingerly. It looked like he might have done something to his knee. That was kind of a scary moment.
Yeah.
Just the run game was working and that's how they attacked the Raiders all day. So not really, I don't think it bodes ill for the fates of these pass catchers or for Burrow.
Yeah. For the Raiders, pretty ugly, except for Darren Waller. Eight targets, seven catches, 116 yards. Obviously great to see. The only touchdown goes to Foster Moreau. It's bad elsewhere. Josh Jacobs, 61 total yards and 14 touches. Hunter Renfrow, only four targets in this one, catches all of them for 30 yards. Derek Carr throws for 215 with the touchdown and a pick. Again, I mentioned it, Pat, early in the show that it really does feel like the absence of that Henry Ruggs deep threat sort of, taking the top off the defense and opening things up underneath has really just completely discombobulated this Raiders offense right now, and they have a really tough schedule going forward. So I don't know, man, what do you think about here about all basically probably everybody other than Darren Waller? Should we start thinking about avoiding all Raiders not named Darren Waller?
Yeah. I mean, I think you can still play Renfrow. We've talked about him. Like he is this super, the floor and ceiling, there's no separation between the two. Today was the first day we've seen the floor, like, lower than usable, I think, all season. So generally, I think you can play him, especially in leagues where you get half point or full point PPR. But for the otherwise, like Bryan Edwards, forget about him. Like you can't use him anymore. Even last week when he had 88 yards or whatever it was only on what, four targets and three catches. Yep. So
he loves four targets. That's where he lives.
But it was good to see Waller come through. I mean, it was really his first big game since week one.
Yep. Yeah, no, and he needed it. And fantasy managers needed to stop yelling about him for sure. Chiefs 19, Cowboys 9. Again, we talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire already here in Trust or Bust. So Patrick Mahomes, 260 yards, no touchdowns with a pick that was not his fault in any way, shape, or form. Tyreek Hill, 11 targets, 9 catches. Travis Kelce, 8 targets, 5 catches, 74 yards. He does get the rushing touchdown. I don't really think there's all that much to say, Pat. I mean, like I could say, well, is Patrick Mahomes a little tier below the elite? But we had Josh Allen with a bad game and Lamar Jackson didn't play and Kyler Murray's injured. So, I don't know. Other than the running backs that we talked about earlier, any takeaways here from the Chiefs?
No, none. It's a two-man passing game with Hill and Kelce. The running backs, and we talked about it earlier, that was the interesting development. Nothing in the passing game.
Yep. For the Cowboys, very just tough sledding. No Amari Cooper coming in. CeeDee Lamb leaves early with a head injury, likely concussion. They have a Thursday game. It's sounds like it's going to be very, very difficult for him to clear concussion protocol. You know, before then, I'm not sure if it's fair to analyze Dak like we normally would here, 216 yards and two picks. Dalton Schultz, obviously, 8 targets, 6 catches, 53 yards. Michael Gallup, 10 targets, just 5 catches, 44 yards. If you got anything long term to say here about the Cowboys, Pat, that's great. If not, I guess we could say short term, they get the Raiders on Thanksgiving. There's no Cooper. There's probably no Lamb. What would you do with all the other pass catchers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes Gallup a must start. I think it makes Schultz a must start. And we saw Schultz very heavily targeted late in this game after, you know, Lamb had left. And boy, Cedric Wilson might even be worth considering.
Hold on to the ball. That's all. Just hold on to
it. Exactly. You know? Exactly. I mean, I mean, doesn't maybe make Pollard more valuable with all these pass catchers out? And boy, we thought Pollard was maybe going to be really valuable when, like, Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, I saw a close-up look at that ankle injury, and when I saw the replay, I'm like, oh man, that's a multi-week injury. Nope, he was back later in the game. Some guys are just built differently, you know?
Yeah. But he is getting banged up here, Pat. Like every game, he's got something, you know, that sort of knocks him out. And as somebody who rosters Zeke in a bunch of leagues, every game I'm holding my breath at this point. And he comes back in, you know, which is great. But, you know, not that effective here. You know, he had the 6 catches for 36 yards where it just felt like Dak was just running for his life and Zeke would turn around and the ball would be there and he'd catch it. But just 9 for 32 on the ground. Pollard, 9 touches, 70 yards. You know, I don't know, man.
Pollard's looked better all season. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I can get away with that excuse. The comparison I made before with the relief pitcher who only has to pitch an inning or whatever and can throw. Like, I'm not sure that holds up anymore. I use that as maybe the reason Pollard was outperforming Zeke, but Pollard does just look better.
Yeah, I think so too. And it makes me a little worried as somebody rostering Zeke. But, you know, maybe if anything right now with all these injuries that they have and all the stuff, maybe they'll just go so heavy, especially against the Raiders, as we saw here with Joe Mixon on the ground in the next one. So hopefully they do that. Let's go to the Cardinals 23, Seahawks 13. No Kyler Murray, no DeAndre Hopkins. No problem. Colt McCoy throws for 328 with 2 touchdowns. Both go to Zach Ertz, 9 targets, 8 catches, 88 yards. Do you think this is a sign of things to come here for Ertz or just kind of a, you know, a one-off?
Maybe a one-off because McCoy seemed like he is really connected with Ertz in a way that maybe Murray has not. So Murray seems a little bit more wide receiver centric.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe these are new wrinkles that, Kingsbury has worked into their offense, having had some time with Ertz on the roster. Yeah. So, I do think Ertz is at worst low end tight end one territory. Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard for me to fit in all the guys that I feel like are low end tight end one territory. That's really the issue, right? It's a crowded room, right?
Yes,
I mean, there is no tub of riches like the tight ends from 10 to 16, right? We could go any of one of them and they're all fine.
The bouncer has put up the velvet rope though for Dan Arnold, though. He is not getting into that room anymore.
You're out, Dan Arnold. I apologize. Just when I thought you were in, you're out. Okay. The other pass catchers, by the way, I mean, AJ Green, 7 targets, 4 catches, 78 yards. Rondell Moore, 11 targets, catches all of them for 51 yards. So not that exciting. Christian Kirk, the almost touchdown, but just 2 for 25. Anything to read into here with the pass catchers? Or again, we've got no Kyler Murray, so are we just kind of throwing it out?
Yeah, just kind of throwing it out. I mean, a bad game for Kirk, a weird game for Moore. You know, we just know that Moore's targets are of the very low value variety.
Yeah.
So nothing too unusual there, I guess.
Yeah. And James Conner continues to be incredibly inefficient, but he does make it count. 21 carries, 62 yards. But he does get the touchdown and 5 catches for 37 yards. So, look, they've got a bye. I mean, I assume Chase Edmonds will be back shortly afterwards, but maybe not. We don't know that for sure. And I guess what we can say is as long as Edmonds is out, we can probably book him for, you know, in a normal, you know, game script, probably 20 touches at least. And when Edmonds comes back, he'll probably go back to being sort of the, I don't know, maybe a little higher than he was because he's been so good. But like a low-end RB2 or a high-end flex once Edmonds come back?
Yeah, low-end RB2, I would say.
Okay, very good. All right, for the Seahawks, Pat. I mean, this looks really bad. And as somebody who roots for a team that gets their draft pick this year, I'm not all that unhappy about what is happening, but still, Russell Wilson, 14 for 26 for 207 yards. You're not a doctor. You just play one on TV. What is, like, is this rust? Is the finger injury going to, like, ruin his season? What do you think about this, Pat?
Yeah, it didn't look good today. I mean, he was, Russ has just always been so good with ball placement. And when his ball placement is this off, like, you worry, I don't know. Is it the finger? I wish I knew more about the, whether that could affect his mechanics.
Yeah.
I just don't know. But it, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's the finger or if it's just the rust from not playing, but like, he and Metcalf just don't seem like they're on the same page at all, which is really
Metcalf
weird.
Metcalf looks pissed, by the way. Like, I mean, he seems like he always plays pissed just because that's probably how he plays so well. But you can see him, right? Like, it's like the way people look when they have a bad quarterback throwing them the ball right here. 8 targets, 4 catches, 31 yards. And Tyler Lockett, I mean, 5 targets, 4 catches, 115 yards. And he comes through. I mean, so let's say, Pat, that, you know, we don't see great signs here from Russell Wilson going forward. Are you still starting? I mean, Lockett obviously had a great game. You're still starting Lockett and DK every week, right?
Starting these guys, yeah. But I mean, I had Metcalf in wide receiver one range rest of the season. I don't think he's going to be there next week.
Yep. I think all that's fair. Meanwhile, running game, and people are asking about it. Obviously, Chris Carson done for the year. Alex Collins is 10 for 36. DJ Dallas finds the end zone. Is it worth holding on to any Seattle running back for the rest of the season?
Yeah. Oh, man. Collins is just so meh. But like, I think you have to roster him, right? Just be on volume alone.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, ideally, you don't have to start him unless something happens. And, you know, with all the injuries now, I mean, he's a useful piece, but a guy I would feel better about not having in my starting lineup.
Gosh, man, to think that the Seattle offense now is like, all right, I guess I'll start these guys, but not feel great about
it. Just right. An offense we thought was going to be a prime driver of fantasy lineups, and it hasn't turned out that way.
Well, hopefully Russ can sort of, you know, figure it out as he gets further away from the recovery and get back to being Russ. And, you know, that'll be fantasy goodness. But in the meantime, our time is up. Obviously, we had the extra game because only two teams on bye. So, you know, try to move as quickly as we can. Pat, I appreciate everything that you do. Thanks to our sponsors, Prize Picks. Number one, take your game to a new level with Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. Thanks to Manscaped, get the new Perfect Package 4.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates over at manscaped.com. And finally, thanks to AirMedCare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use offer code FantasyPros no matter where you're at in the game of life. And AirMedCare Network membership is the protection that you shouldn't live without. Short week this week because we've got Thanksgiving. But we'll be back tomorrow, of course, doing our waiver wire show. I'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.